Imagine driving down the highway at like 70 miles an hour, and suddenly the check engine light starts flashing.
Oh, yeah, the immediate panic.
Right. And instead of pulling over, you panic, you take your hands off the wheel, and literally tell a complete stranger in the passenger seat, hey, you drive. You just, surrender the controls.
It sounds absurd when you put it like that, but biologically, I mean, that is exactly what happens under stress.
Really?
Yeah, totally. When your metaphorical dashboard lights up, your amygdala, which is the brain's threat detection center, it just spikes. It effectively hijacks your prefrontal cortex.
Which is the logic center, right?
Exactly. Your logic and reasoning go offline. So your brain tricks you into believing that handing over control is, well, the safest and fastest way to survive this perceived threat.
Wait, but isn't handing over control sometimes the smart move? Like, if I'm flying on a plane, I gladly give the pilot the authority to fly it. I'm not, fighting for the controls there.
Well, right, but that's delegating to expertise. That is a logical prefrontal cortex choice.
Ah, I see the difference.
Yeah, what we're talking about today is surrendering your personal agency out of sheer panic or anger or fear, usually to an entity that doesn't actually have your best interests or even any real competence in mind.
And that brings us to our mission for today. Welcome to today's deep dive into week five, day five of the Laws of Life workbook.
We are shifting gears today.
We really are. We are moving from theory to real-world behavioral application of the law that all granted power will be abused or used incompetently.
So today is all about examining exactly where and why you've handed over your own steering wheel and retraining the brain to stop doing it.
Exactly. I mean, as a psychology professor, I see this surrender constantly. I actually recently mentored a really brilliant PhD student who completely paralyzed her own research.
Oh, wow. How so?
Well, she hit this minor roadblock with a university ethics committee, and instead of navigating it, she just granted them absolute unquestioned authority over her entire methodology.
Because her amygdala was firing, she saw a threat and just froze.
Yes, exactly. She treated this simple bureaucratic hurdle like it was some sort of moral absolute. But the workbook wants us to treat these things as design restrictions instead.
I love that term, design restrictions.
Right. Think of it like finding a river right in the middle of a construction site. You don't scream at the river, right?
No, of course not.
And you don't abandon the project either. You just calmly, intelligently design a bridge to get over it.
That is such a crucial mindset shift for today's journal work. The prompts actually ask you to look at a current restriction in your life.
Like an HOA rule or something.
Yeah, or a really rigid corporate policy. And you need to find three or four ways to design around it.
Why did you advocate for this power? Right, that's one of the questions.
Yep. And what specific fear drove your choice? Because the goal isn't just to make a list for homework, it's to literally retrain those neural pathways, forcing your logic center back online.
So you start seeing obstacles as puzzles rather than, existential threats.
Exactly.
We should actually pause here for a second because I had a massive aha moment reading this chapter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Looking at the wording of this law about not granting power to the state, I honestly didn't trust that the author was being non-political. I really had my guard up.
I mean, I had the exact same reaction initially.
Right. But when you get to the day five application, you realize it's actually a pure critical thinking filter. It operates totally impartially.
It really does. It's not about endorsing left-wing or right-wing state policies. It's just a personal diagnostic tool to see where you individually are letting restrictions dictate your life instead of, well, designing around
It
them.
is highly personal. In fact, thinking about this law forced me to look at my own failures.
Okay, let's hear it. Let's put each other on the hot seat here.
Oh boy. Okay. Well, I'm going to push you first. Look at the workbook questions. What were the key indicators that you missed in a past situation? What were the exact emotions you were feeling when you decided to enter into this cycle?
Oh, wow. Going right for it.
Try to go back in your mental database. Was it fear, anger, greed, outrage, or some combination?
Well, okay, early on in my career, I actually handed over total control of my lab's research direction to a massive funding board.
Really? You just handed it over.
I completely missed the red flags that they were extreme micromanagers who wanted to dictate daily lab operations.
So, what was the exact emotion? Was it outrage?
Honestly, it was a pretty toxic mix of greed and fear. I mean, greed because the grant was huge, but mostly it was fear. Fear of not making payroll for my researchers.
So the Fear Center just took over.
Basically, I traded my scientific autonomy for a false sense of financial security. But okay, my turn. You mentioned your own failures
Yeah,
earlier.
I knew this was coming.
Same questions for you. What were the emotions when you surrendered control?
Well, a few years ago, I let a campus administrative body completely gut and dictate my psychology syllabus.
A syllabus? Why would you hand that over? Was it fear for you too?
No, it was total outrage, actually. A new campus policy came down, and I was just so consumed by indignation that I spent months in these completely useless, fiery committee meetings.
Ah, you were fighting the river.
I was fighting the river, and the glaring indicator that I missed was that they had absolutely zero background in psychology.
Unbelievable.
But because my ego and my anger were driving, I got sucked into their bureaucratic game instead of just calmly redesigning my curriculum to meet their technical requirements, you know?
Yeah, you could have just kept your core material and built a bridge.
Exactly. And that is exactly the kind of gritty, uncomfortable honesty Day 5 requires from you as you dig into your own history today.
It's hard work, but it's worth it.
Definitely. And hey, here's your daily practice reminder. Do not forget your 3 times a day review of your stack.
Yes, that's your 3 code rewrites, your 3 distill points, and your 2 quotes.
And of course, tackle your bedtime question tonight. You really want to set yourself up for tomorrow.
Because tomorrow is the Day 6 self-audit, right?
That's right. The week is almost over, so it's the absolute perfect time to step back and reflect on your growth.
It is. And as you go about your day, I want to leave you with this final thought to just kind of chew on.
Lay it on us.
If your brain's fear center is biologically hardwired to seek out authority in times of stress, what conscious daily habits can you build to keep your hands firmly on your own steering wheel?